The list of artists that Philadelphia-born pianist Kenny Barron has played with reads like an honor roll of the greatest names in jazz. Freddie Hubbard, Chet Baker, Booker Irvin, Stan Getz, and Dizzy Gillespie are just a few. Kenny stays busy year-round as one of the most in-demand pianists on the scene. He's been recognized by the National Academy of Arts and Sciences and named an NEA Jazz Master. This Tuesday, Kenny Barron will be at Centennial Hall as part of an all-star group, the touring version of the legendary Monterey Jazz Festival. Kenny will be joined by violinist Regina Carter, vocalist Kurt Elling, and guitarist Russell Malone. I talked to Kenny while the tour was visiting San Diego, and I asked him what the 53-year legacy of the Monterey Jazz Festival means to him.
Well, I mean, it's the whole history of people. The first time I played there was 1963, I think, with Dizzy Gillespie. And I've been there many, many times since. And I played there with Stan Getz. I've played there with Charlie Hayden. I've played there with my own trio. So there's definitely a legacy there. I mean, I remember the first time being there, Miles Davis was there. And he came on stage when I was there with Dizzy. He came on stage just as a joke, believe it or not. I got to see Harry James. There's a long line of people there.
How are you approaching your set on this tour? What kind of format are you playing in?
Well, one of the things we decided we did not want to do is have everybody play on every song. So there are different configurations in both sets. There's a duo with Regina Carter and myself. There may be a duo with Kurt Elling and Russell Malone. There's a trio with my trio. They're various configurations that I think will make it interesting for the audience as well as for us.
Well, let's tell our listeners a little bit about Regina Carter. For those who haven't heard her play before, what would you want to tell them about Regina up front?
Well, first of all, she's fantastic, and she's playing an instrument that's a little unusual, but basically because of her, it's becoming not so unusual anymore. There have been others before her, but she's the one who really is really making it very, very popular now.
So what drew you to want to play with this young violinist from Detroit?
Well, basically the first time I heard her, which was in Telluride, the jazz festival there, I had never heard her before or heard of her. And she went on before me. And I was just fascinated. So when she came off the stage, in the backstage, I just walked over to her and introduced myself and said, I really enjoy your playing, and I would like to, maybe play together sometime. And I don't think she quite believes me. So when I got back to New York, I had a week at a club called Sweet Basil's, and I called her. And she came, and we had a great time. Then we started working together a lot. She called me to work with her a couple of times. We've been playing ever since.
From hearing other interviews with them, it seems like both Russell Malone and Kurt Elling have got good senses of humor. They're passionate musicians, but I think they can both be kind of jokers. Which one would you say on a given night is most likely to give you trouble?
Oh, probably both. We've been traveling by bus.
What's that been like?
It's been a lot of fun, because Russell has a million jokes. Kurt's sense of humor is a little drier. Russell is more like slapstick with stuff. This particular gig is so much fun because everybody gets along. We have fun together on and off the bandstand, and I think that's what makes it work.
I read on your bio that you played with Philly Joe Jones while you were still in high school.
Yeah, that's very true.
What's something you can remember that Philly Joe imparted to you about jazz?
Number one, it's the way he could swing. he never verbalized anything to me because we didn't really talk that much. But just by example, just the way he played, that was enough. Just to hear him play and to play with him, that kind of swing was really, it was incredible.
And then 1962 found you playing with Dizzy Gillespie. How did that affect you musically?
Oh, well, I mean, that's like going to school, you know. First of all, it was like playing with somebody you idolize. You know, I mean, I'd been hearing Dizzy on the radio when I was in junior high school. You know, so to be playing with him is, you know, kind of awe-inspiring. But one of the things I liked about working with Dizzy was, first of all, he knew a lot about the piano. So he knew a lot about piano voicings and things like that. So he was able to show me a lot of things. Oh, why don't you voice the chord this way? You know, so, and he was very generous with his knowledge. And it was the very first gig I ever did with him. Was in Cincinnati, and we had no rehearsal. There wasn't time to rehearse, so he ran over some things in the taxi cab, you know, verbally. That was my intro to the gig, you know.
If somebody offered you a sweet recording deal tomorrow to do your dream project, do you know what that would be?
Oh, there's so many things. So it would probably be very, very eclectic. Well, because there are a lot of things I would like to do. I would love to do something with strings. I think probably my dream project would actually be to record a record and not be concerned about whether or not it will sell. For me, that would be a dream project. That's always in the back of your head, you know.
On Tuesday, that's April 27th, the Monterey Jazz Festival tour arrives in Tucson for a show at Centennial Hall. The all-star lineup includes vocalist Kurt Elling and guitarist Russell Malone, along with Kenny Barron and my next guest, Regina Carter. Born in Detroit, Regina has made a name for herself as the leading jazz violinist of her generation. Her collaborators have included stars like Wynton Marsalis, Billy Taylor, Aretha Franklin, and Marion McPartland. She was recognized with a MacArthur Grant in 2006. I talked to Regina from the tour's stop in San Diego, and I asked her about the first time she played on the Monterey Jazz stage.
I remember playing the festival with Kenny Barron in a duo setting, and any time you play with Mr. Barron, I mean, he's a living legend, so it's a huge honor for me, and even being out here with the Monterey All-Stars when it's my turn to present a tune. I usually like to do it in duo with Kenny. I want to take advantage of being able to perform with him. And it's just, he's an incredible musician, of course, but an incredible person as well. I've learned so much about the business of the music and from him, just watching him, even from afar, how he's handled situations and just always being very, very professional, no matter what situation is presented to him. The first time I met Kenny, I remember he said to me, oh, I'd like to play together, perform together. And I thought he was kidding me. Like, me? You want to play with me? But and then we decided we wanted to do a duo record together, and it took us many, many years to get that happening just because both of our schedules were so crazy. But we finally, the opportunity presented itself, and we recorded Free Fall.
You know, he told me that he thought you were a little incredulous the first time he said, let's play together. And then he called you up for a gig one night. Do you remember that? Do you remember what it felt like when you took your violin down to the show that night?
I remember my heart beating so fast I could hear it in my ears. And I remember playing, I think it was at the Iridium. And I looked at the musicians around me and thought to myself, I'm standing here on stage. I can't believe I'm standing here with them, and then trying to be present in the music and not let that, you know, freak me out completely. But just every so often that voice would come up and say, you're really here. You're really playing with these musicians.
When you were starting out, was there a key moment for you when you realized that the violin could do much more than classical music? Was there something that where you heard a jazz tune or heard something that made you think, I want to do that?
Yeah, well, actually, in high school, in ninth grade, one of my dearest friends, who's a great jazz vocalist, Carla Cook, she introduced me to the world of jazz. She would come to school and talk about Eddie Jefferson all the time, and Miles, and all these people I'd never heard of. And so she brought in a couple of records. She brought in a Noel Pointer record, Jean-Luc Ponty, and Stefan Grappelli, all jazz violinists. So that really turned my world around, because I didn't know you could do anything else other than country music with the violin. When we were 16, she got tickets and we went to see Stefan Grappelli live in Detroit. And there's nothing like seeing a live concert. You know, you can have some great records, but all the magic happens on stage. And I think just watching him and seeing how much fun he seemed to be having, that's what I wanted. I wanted to be able to have my own voice in the music and improvise and not have to play a piece the same way every time. And for the object to be, to try and be different and say something else and have a different experience every night. So that's really what attracted me to the music. And I think that was that, hearing those records and seeing him live is really what turned my world around. And I decided then that I wanted to play this music.
How do you like traveling by bus for the Monterey Jazz Tour? How's that working out?
I love it. I prefer it over flying, actually.
Yeah.
I'm a scary flyer. So it's nice because you can sleep if it's an all-nighter and you have everything you need. Make your own coffee and watch movies if you want. So it's like being in a traveling apartment, if you will, about the size of my New York apartment. Might even be a little bigger.
Has Russell Malone been pulling any practical jokes on you?
Oh, please. If not, we'd know something was wrong.
You'd have to check his vital signs?
Yeah, exactly. I asked him, do you just sit up and think about this stuff 24/7? His mind, he's got a riddle all the time, and I always feel it coming. And when he says, hey, Regina, I know exactly. So here we go. But he's a lot of fun. He keeps us all laughing.
Regina Carter plays Centennial Hall next Tuesday, April 27th, when UA Presents hosts the Monterey Jazz Festival on tour. We have links for more information on the Arizona Spotlight page at azpm.org. UA Presents is an underwriter of Arizona Public Media.